So our sermon series for January is, you know, is starting again. You know, we can't, life doesn't come with an eraser, and it doesn't come with a delete button. We can't go back and change things, but we can change from this moment forward. Amen? We can change, we can start again. I want to give you a verse of scripture, I believe, that will sum up the sermon series for the month. Because this is a fresh start verse. And the verse is Proverbs 24:16, "For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of disaster and collapse." So a righteous man, he may mess up seven times, but he starts again. Now, here's the reason. Here's why that is so. Because you know, you notice that it gives us a contrast between the righteous and the wicked. All right, and the difference is that the righteous live with a spiritual dynamic. The wicked do not. All right, so that's what we're going to talk about. The spiritual dynamic and how to move from the realm of the natural into the realm of the spiritual. Because we live in a natural world, we live in a natural body, everything around us, it's all natural. But there is a spiritual reality, and I want to talk to you about that spiritual reality. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them or understand them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, the Bible talks about three categories of people. It talks about the natural, talks about the carnal, and it talks about the spiritual. All right, so the carnal is somebody who does have the spiritual dynamic, but they are living and functioning as if they don't. Then the natural man is the individual who has never experienced the inward dynamic of the spirit life. He has never had the inward work of Holy Spirit renewal. So that's why he can't understand the things of the spirit realm. Are y'all with me? So we're going to talk about how to move from the natural to the spiritual. The scripture says that Adam was of the earth and he became a living soul. But it says Jesus Christ became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life. Jesus Christ, as life-giver, wants to move you and I from the natural into the spiritual. And that's why I say this can be your best year ever if it is your best year spiritually. But it can't be our best year spiritually if we stay in the realm of the natural. So we have to move from the realm of the natural into the realm of the spiritual. All right, so that's what we're going to talk about today. So I want to talk to you about moving from the natural to the spiritual. Here's another verse of scripture, Romans 8:6. It says this, "For to be carnally minded is death." Naturally minded. Fleshly minded. We know that we live in a world, as I just said, that is dominated by natural things. So if we are only naturally minded, fleshly minded, he said that is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's a very important verse of scripture. And it so illustrates what we're going to talk about. Because it's all in the mind. See, the mind is so key to victory and success. Whatever's controlling the mind, whatever's influencing the mind, whatever thought process is in the mind. So there's a reason why we have to be spiritually minded. And the word says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So how many of you are ready to move from the realm of the natural into the realm of the spiritual? Amen. And by the grace of God, we're going to be able to do that. By the power of God, We're going to be able to do that. All right, so I want to give you, first of all, five ways Satan keeps you in the natural. You know, now understand that the devil's not for us. The devil's against us. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy, but I am come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. So if we are not doing something to move from the realm of the natural into the realm of the spiritual, then we will simply fulfill Satan's plan for our lives. Because his plan is to keep us from advancing. He doesn't want us to grow, doesn't want us to increase. He does not want us to move forward. So there's five ways that Satan keeps us in the realm of the natural. Here's the first one. And I believe this is a big one. Discouragement. Have you ever been discouraged? You know, discouragement is a hindering factor. It really is. It is a hindering dynamic. Discouragement. The word discouragement, it simply means to be without courage. God wants you encouraged. Satan wants you discouraged. So what side of the word courage are we on? Are we on the wrong side or the right side? You know, God wants us encouraged. Satan wants us discouraged. To be without courage. Joshua 1:9. Joshua has been chosen by God to lead the Israelites into the land flowing with milk and honey. Moses, his time is done. His life is finished. It's over. Joshua now has that mantle from God to lead the Israelites into a land flowing with milk and honey. How many of you want to live in a land flowing with milk and honey? Can I tell you, in the spiritual realm, there is a land flowing with milk and honey, ordained by God, God's will, his plan, his purpose. There is a place in the Lord where we can thrive in every area of our lives. We can thrive in the realm of finances. We can thrive in the realm of marriage. We can thrive in the realm of relationships. But if we stay in the realm of the natural, it's impossible to thrive in those areas. So that's why the devil wants to keep us there. Discouragement. So the word of the Lord to Joshua said, "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage." He says, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He's with you. The Lord is with you. He's going before you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. I want to draw your attention to that word dismayed. Because that word dismayed gives us some tremendous insight. Because he said, "Do not be dismayed," in Joshua 1:9. So the word dismayed, I looked it up in the Hebrew Bible. It means to break down or to sink down or to be depressed in spirit. That's why I say the devil is on a mission to bring us into a breakdown. He wants us to have a nervous breakdown, a spiritual breakdown. He wants us broken. Are y'all with me? Amen. He wants us broken. But Jesus wants us healed, delivered, set free, set on fire, advancing, moving forward, growing, developing, increasing, and all of the things of God. So he says, don't be dismayed, don't be broken down, don't sink down, don't be depressed in spirit. Five ways he wants to keep us in the realm of the natural. Discouragement. He wants us discouraged. The second one is kind of tied into it, and it's big. The word depression. Now, we live in a world where people are depressed. People at the workplace are depressed. People at the shopping center are depressed. People in the church are depressed. People all around us are depressed. Depression is very, very real. And it's something we have to contend with. What does the word depression mean? Very similar to the word dismayed. The word depression, it means to be downcast, to be sad, or to be low in spirit. Low in spirit. Isn't that interesting? Because what are we talking about? Moving from the realm of the natural into the realm of the spiritual. So the word depression means to be low in spirit. I love David's prayer in Psalms 40. In Psalms 40, listen to what he says. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He heard my cry. He hears you when you pray. He hears you when you cry out. He heard my cry. Kind of reminds me of the Israelites in the Old Testament. They were in bondage for 400 years. Now think of that. 400 years. Then the Bible says that all of a sudden they cried out. It took them 400 years before they cried out. But when they cried out, the Lord heard them. And then what did he do? He sent a deliverer, Moses, to bring them out of Egyptian bondage, to set them free. Heard their cry. David said, he heard my cry, and he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. And I love this next part. He put a song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear, and I will trust in the Lord. So my friend, depression is very real. It's something that we must be well aware of and not allow ourselves to be brought down into the pit of despair. Because that's exactly what David is talking about. Down into the pit of despair. A horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. This is an encouraging word. Because it says that he will bring us out of it. He will lift us up out of it. And he will set our feet upon a rock. Well, who's the rock? Jesus Christ. And he will establish our steps. He will establish you, my friend. He will establish your walk. Downcast, sad, low in spirit. Depression is very, very real. But I don't think we have to succumb to it. I don't think we have to surrender to it or give in to it. I think all we need to do is just exactly what David did here. Cry out to God. But this is a way that Satan keeps us in the realm of the natural. Because if he can depress us, close us in, keep us bound, you know, by circumstances, failed relationships, mess ups, foul ups, you know, whatever else we might want to chunk into the category. If he can keep us there, then we're not advancing. We are stuck. How many of you know if you are in a pit, you are in a rut and you're stuck? But thank God, the life giver unsticks us and he advances us and moves us forward. Five ways Satan keeps you in the natural. Discouragement, depression. Here's the third one. Negative attitudes. Envy, jealousy, unforgiveness, criticism, pride, selfishness. All of these things will impede spiritual growth. And my friends, these are the things that really characterize people's lives today. They live in all of these things. They live with this negative mindset, negative attitude. Many people live envious lives. They're always jealous. They're always critical. They're always living for themselves, self-centered, selfishness, Jesus went to the cross to kill selfishness. Amen? He did. And that's why I said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. But these negative attitudes, they dwell on the inside. They get into our mindset. So that's why he said that spiritually minded people, that is life and that is peace. Now look at what this says in Ephesians 4:29. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace. It's necessary for edification. So as a believer, I should always be speaking words that will edify people. Not words of these things here. Envy, jealousy, selfishness, covetousness, unforgiveness, bitterness, criticism. You know, all of those things. So let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Now, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 12:34. He said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So whatever's going on the inside is going to manifest on the outside. So my friend, all of us have to consider what is coming out. Whatever's coming out is based upon what's going in. Whatever is happening on the inside. So let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is necessary for edification, so that it may impart grace. Negative attitudes. So many people live with a negative mindset. Do you? See, we have to examine ourselves. Am I living with a negative mindset? We are surrounded by people with negative mindsets. What am I focused on? You know, what is affecting my inward being? What is forming my attitude? Listen, I'm going to tell you, you know, attitude is really the difference between success and failure. It really is. Because if you can find somebody that has a right attitude, you can promote them and you can use them and you can elevate them. Years ago when I was a sales rep, I went into a grocery store. It was one of the accounts on my area of responsibility. And I remember going in on a Monday. This was back in, I guess, late 90s now. And the store owner was notorious for cursing out sales reps. He didn't know Ephesians 4:29. But, see, he was probably a natural man. You know, he had never had that inward work of renewal by the Holy Spirit. So he can't understand the things of the Spirit, right? So on a Monday morning, after Father's Day, I remember it clearly, I walk into the store to get my Monday order. And had to go see the manager. You always have to go see the manager. Of course, in this instance, he was the owner and the manager. So I walked up and greeted him. And he said, Mr. Coca-Cola man. He said, so tell me, what did you do for Father's Day yesterday? I said, well, I'm glad you asked. I said, because I went to church and I preached a Father's Day message to the congregation. I said, after that, I went home, had a wonderful, wonderful dinner with my wife and my children. And he said, wait, back up just a minute. That part where you said you preached to a congregation, are you a preacher? I said, oh, I never mentioned that to you, that I pastor a church. Oh, my God, he pastors. Did I ever curse you out? Please, did I ever curse you out? Because he was notorious for cursing out sales reps. And I said, no, You never did. For whatever reason. I said, I guess you and I, we just hit it off. That really wasn't the case, but kind of a funny thing. But, you know, negative attitudes makes people notorious for the wrong things. Amen? So that's, you know, that's one of the five ways Satan keeps you in the realm of the natural. Well, let me move on, because I got to keep rolling to get this done. All right, here's number four, rebellion. Rebellion simply means to resist authority. Saul has been rejected by God to remain as king of Israel. And the reason why he was rejected is because Saul resisted God's direction. He resisted God's authority. So God sends the prophet Samuel to speak to him. So Samuel gives him this prophetic word in 1 Samuel 15:23. He says, "For rebellion has the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness." Have you ever been stubborn? My wife is always telling me I am stubborn, hard-headed. And I keep telling her, I am not drinking that cough syrup again. I drank it last Sunday. Thank God I'm almost past this, but I'm not 100%, but I'm almost there. But I drank it last Sunday, and like I told you last Sunday, I pretended that it was snowball syrup bubblegum flavor. I mean, bubblegum flavor, that's the bomb. That blue. But when I took that swig of that cup, I was like, now I understand why Becky was making those. All those faces. That stuff is terrible. So she's trying to get me to take medication. I don't want to take medication. I don't want to drink that cough syrup. And she left it by the coffee pot. I'm like, I'm rebellious. I'm not taking it. And I'm not taking it today either. I'll just suffer. But rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. To resist authority. To resist the authority of God. How many of you know to resist the authority of God is going to keep us where the devil wants us? Amen? It'll keep us in the realm of the natural. Here's the fifth thing. Five ways Satan keeps you in the natural. That which moves us away from faith, it's called fear. Fear. Excuse me, you can see I'm still not 100% healed, but I'm getting there. Fear, that which moves us away from faith. Consider these verses. The first one is 1 John 4:18. He says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love will cast out fear. Because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love." What would our church look like in 2020 if we could be more loving? Just more loving. If we could be more compassionate. To just have a heart of compassion for people. Because we're surrounded by hurting people all around us. Somebody needs to reach them with the love of God. Somebody needs to show them the love of God. Somebody needs to just love them. So he says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love will cast out fear. Then this is one I'm sure we're familiar with. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment." And look at what it says next. "And personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. A calm, well-balanced mind. So there again, we find the mind mentioned. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. If I stay in the realm of the natural, then I am discouraged, I'm depressed, and you know, and all of these things that are working to keep me in the realm of the natural. But if I am moving forward, if I am pursuing my relationship with Christ, if I am deepening my walk in Jesus Christ, the result of that is the ability, the blessing, the benefit of a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Self-control. Now, we are living in a culture that does not live by self-control. So that's, that's something that it's not easy to do. There are some things that we must stand in opposition to and not allow those things into our lives. Self-control. There are certain sins, you know, that would try to entangle us, enslave us. We must not allow it to take place. So that brings me to the next part of the sermon. Five ways to progress spiritually. How can I move from the realm of the natural to the realm of the spiritual? So I want to give you five areas now of how to do that. Five ways of how Satan keeps us in the realm of the natural. Here's five ways that we can advance, that we can move forward, that we can progress. Remember, it will be your best year ever if it is your best year spiritually. We must make it our best year spiritually. So here's the first one. Let the Holy Spirit search you. Search you. Here's a verse you ought to jot down. Don't forget it. Memorize it. Commit it into your memory. It's Psalms 26, 2. He says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind. There's our word mind again. Try my mind and my heart. Examine me, prove me, try me, try my mind, try my heart. See, that means that I'm getting honest before God, because there's nothing that I can hide from him anyway. Absolutely nothing. Everything is naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we must give account. There's nothing that I can hide from God. So let the Holy Spirit search you. Examine me. And when we do that, he will show us things that he wants us to deal with. He will show us areas of our lives that he wants us to bring under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit. Look at that little phrase, prove me. Those two words, prove me, in Psalm 26, 2. It simply means establish my life based upon truth. We live in a world where people's lives are not based upon truth. They're many based upon lies and deceit and deception, you know, and all the things that we just talked about, you know, the pride and the self-centeredness and the jealousy and all of those things. So prove me. Establish my life based upon truth. I want my life rooted in truth. See, that's a spiritual principle. So this is how you begin right here. Let the Holy Spirit search you. Here's a second one. Develop a sound mind. Five ways to progress spiritually. Let the Holy Spirit search you. Develop a sound mind. Now, a sound mind is critical, because a sound mind means that it's under the influence and it's under the control of the Holy Spirit. So it reasons according to the Holy Spirit. It makes choices and decisions based upon the Holy Spirit. This is critical in our progress, moving forward, advancing, getting out of the realm of the natural, into the realm of the spiritual. Philippians 4:7. Look at what this says. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it will keep you. He says, the peace of God, the perfect peace of God that surpasses all understanding. See, this is a sound mind. This is how a sound mind functions. It doesn't live based upon its own idea or its own concept. It lives based upon truth, the Holy Spirit. So I must develop a sound mind. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So a double-minded man, he doesn't think right. He doesn't know how to prioritize. He doesn't know how to logically make sound choices and decisions. Listen, in over 20 years of pastoring now, I have seen so many people through the years that have made bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And at some point, the bad decisions must stop. But amazingly, some people never do. Do you know why? Because they never move from the realm of the natural into the realm of the spiritual. But it doesn't have to be you and I, my friends. We can develop a sound mind, progressing spiritually. Here's a third one. I love this one. Casting down wrong thoughts. I must think rightly. I must think according, again, to truth. I must see things from God's perspective. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So do you see how vital it is that we move from the realm of the natural to the realm of the spiritual? That's the only way you can really step into the will of God. That's the only way you can live the will of God. Because you can't do it on your own. It's the Holy Spirit who does it. So I have to cast down wrong thoughts. Listen to what this says. I love this in the Message Bible in 2 Corinthians 10. He says it this way. The world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. Boy, isn't that the truth? It's a dog-eat-dog world. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. Wow. He says here that the culture, the entire culture, the massive culture is corrupt. Do y'all see that? Do you know why it's corrupt? Because the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man does not have the inward work of renewal of the Holy Spirit. It's what Titus referred to as the inward work of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural thing that God does the moment somebody says yes to Jesus Christ. They become recipients of an inward work by the Holy Spirit. But the world at large knows nothing about that. But that's why we preach the gospel. That's why we hold the light. Because we are drawing them to it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If a light is placed on the top of the hill, he said, everybody's drawn to it, right? A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Entire corrupt culture, because it's in the realm of the natural. He goes on, he says, we use our powerful God tools, listen to this, for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers that are erected against the truth of God. Fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure shaped by Christ. That is an awesome, awesome verse. And it so wonderfully illustrates what we're talking about. See, we must cast down thoughts. These philosophies, these thoughts, these barriers that are erected against the truth of God is dominating our culture. It's deceiving. The culture is totally deceived. Why? Again, going back to 1 Corinthians 2:14, because the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. There was a time in my life where I would mock church, mock the things of God. Why? Because I was in the realm of the natural. I had no work of regeneration. I had no understanding because it's only spiritually discerned. That's why somebody can read the Bible from beginning to ending, from Genesis to Revelation. And unless they step into that revelation of the Holy Spirit, they can never really interpret what they are reading. They can't really understand it because it doesn't happen intellectually. It happens spiritually. It's revelation. See, God takes the blinders off. And when God takes the blinders off, there came a point in my life, if you're a born-again child of God, there came a point in your life where the Lord took the blinders off. Then all of a sudden you were like, yeah, a light bulb went off. And the Holy Spirit took up residence inside of you. Then you begin to understand things like you never did before. Because you know what happened? You move from the realm of the natural to the realm of the spiritual. Are y'all still with me? All right, we're almost done. Here's the last two. Five ways to progress spiritually. Number four, I like this one. Think on good things. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So what am I thinking on? What things am I thinking about? I told the early church this morning, I said, I'm always thinking about my next experience in the marsh. My next opportunity to hook my boat up, get out there in the marshes of Louisiana, throw my line in the water, and just wait to see what's going to dunk that cork or grab that line on the bottom, the next trophy trout or the next trophy redfish, because I'm waiting to get my name in the Guinness Book of World Records of the biggest fish ever caught. Because I know when that happens, all the tackle companies are going to want my endorsement. They're going to know, what rod did you use? What reel did you use? What kind of monofilament did you use? What kind of lure did you use? What kind of jig head did you use? And all of those different, just the endorsements and the money. There's going to be so much money. Becky, you'll be able to have a new shoe closet. A push-button shoe closet where you just push a button and the first row just opens up and the second row just moves forward. I mean, man, that would be something else. Well, these are lovely things, right? It may not happen, but you can still think about it. Because he says, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's anything praiseworthy, think about these. Meditate on these. Think on the good things. If you do, you will progress spiritually. But so many times, we're dominated by the present gossip column. did you hear what Brother so-and-so said about Sister so-and-so? And no, what'd they say? Right? Did you hear what happened? No, what happened? But listen, I don't want to look for the latest gossip column. I want to think about good things. Amen? I want to think of what he says here. Whatsoever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely. It's a mindset, right? It's a mindset. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, Slewfoot wants to keep us in the realm of the natural. He wants to keep your life full of drama. Are y'all with me? But God wants to move you from a drama, amen, to an adventure. Hallelujah. I want an adventure. I don't want a drama. I want an adventure. God wants to move us from the natural to the spiritual. Here's the fourth and final thing. Five ways to progress spiritually. Number five, keep your mind spiritually renewed. Look at what this says. This is Ephesians 4 in the Living Bible, 23 and 24. He says, now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. You must be a new and different person, holy and good. Don't get confused about that word holy, because that word holy, all it means is that I am separated. I'm not part of that crowd anymore. I'm not part of that system anymore. I'm not part of that world anymore. I'm not part of that lifestyle anymore. I'm separated. That's all it means. We look at the word holy and we think it means that, you know, that you have to walk with in perfection and without error. Well, nobody can do that. Amen. Nobody can do that. And God doesn't expect us to. That's why we live in grace. Amen. We are moving forward. It doesn't mean we're going to be we'll never be perfect on this side of heaven. Never. Because we live in a natural body, in a natural world. So he says that we must be new and different, holy and good. So clothe yourself with this new nature. Clothe yourself with it. So there's our new wardrobe for 2020. There it is right there. I must be clothed with this new nature, this new life. What is he talking about? He's talking about getting out of the realm of the natural and into the realm of the spiritual. Now, for some of us, that might mean we need to examine our circle. Because there might be some people, they're always cursing, so you curse. Hello, somebody. Because birds of a feather will flock together. One of the first things that I did as a born-again child of God, I changed my entire circle. I'm telling you, the entire circle. And that was huge for me. And coming out of what I was coming out of. But we might have to do that. See, because it's very important that we associate with people. That's why the Bible says for believers, said when we come to the house of God, we are joining ourselves together, as the scripture says, with people of like precious faith. Like precious faith. So, you know, I know that's a big one. And I know we have to live and work in a world where people are in the realm of the natural. And so it's so easy to stay in the realm of the natural with them. But when we start advancing, when we start progressing spiritually, I'm telling you, things will change. I'm renewing my mind. I'm thinking different. I'm not thinking the way I used to think. My thoughts are different. I'm not. My thought life is not how it used to be. And again, remember what we just said. The things that are noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. Those are the things. And if we'll do those things, we will move, my friend, from the realm of the natural to the realm of the spiritual.